Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. After Purdue got an unexpected bye in week three, it moves on to face Northwestern Saturday in an early Big Ten West tilt that might help determine a front runner. How will Purdue stack up? We'll break that down with an early preview on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters with Tom Deanhart. Talk a little hoops with Brian Newbert here in a few minutes as well as, believe it or not, basketball season's just a couple of weeks away. Let's get into it a little bit with football, Tom, and an unexpected bye week over the weekend. Of course, Purdue could not play Wisconsin because the Badgers are dealing with their COVID issues. It gave Purdue a week here to rest up before it gets back in action again against Northwestern. I don't think many of us would have predicted that this would be a matchup between two undefeated teams here in week four, but that's what we're going to get. And, man, when you look at the standings, there's a chance that the winner's got a pretty big edge for the second half of the season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A lot of importance tied to this primetime clash in Ross-Ade Stadium on Saturday night. You're exactly right, Kyle. I think you summed it up well, buddy. The winner here, you'd have to say, is probably in the catbird seat, or at least the driver's seat, I should say, in the Big Ten West. We'll see if Wisconsin gets back on the field this week. Later, they're supposed to play at Michigan this weekend as well, so they're still lurking out there. But obviously, Purdue missing Wisconsin could benefit the Boilermakers. You beat Northwestern, Kyle. And I tell you what, the rest of the schedule sets up pretty favorably for the Boilermakers. So, you know, you can look at this last week being off, I guess, two ways, right? You get a chance to rest. You get some of your injured players healed up. But I guess you could also say this, Kyle. I mean, if you're Purdue, you'd like to keep your role going, right? Keep that momentum pushing forward coming off that 2-0 start. So, bottom line, though, Purdue has to be happy with where it's at playing a high-stakes game here in mid-November.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, look, you get past the game on Saturday, and you're going to be either favored or probably 50-50 games, perhaps aside from the Indiana game, close out the regular season. But, you know, there's a long way to go between now and then also. But you're going to have a chance in each one of those games, and you have a chance, you know, as a slight favorite, so maybe better than a chance, against Northwestern on Saturday. Certainly, it does line up for Purdue to be in this thing, not only right now, but come the end of the season.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Northwestern is going to be a nice measuring stick. Pat Fitzgerald's program has sort of had Purdue's number here the last 10 or so years. Of course, Purdue did get him last year up in Evanston. Aiden O'Connell engineered that late drive to set up J.D. Dellinger's game-winning field goal. But the Wildcats have won the last four games between these teams in Ross-Ade Stadium. So, again, Purdue owes it to them, Kyle. And the matchup I'm looking forward to, buddy, Purdue's offense versus the Northwestern defense. Strength on strength. That Northwestern D has been their calling card this year. Mike Hankowitz, the Sage defensive coordinator for the Wildcats, is a nice set of linebackers. Of course, Purdue's offense, you know about the weapons there, buddy. And who knows, Kyle, maybe this Saturday we see number four on the field for Purdue. We can have a little Rondale Moore, Dave Mortan in the throw at the Wildcats, too. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Hard to believe Northwestern has won that many times in Ross-Ade Stadium here. Man, you don't expect that matchup to be that lopsided, especially at home. You mentioned Moore. What do you think there? What chance do you have that we'll see Rondale back? And you know, talk about the other injuries as well. George Karloftis, of course, got nicked up against Illinois. Not sure if we'll find out more about him, like in an official capacity this week. Purdue's missing a couple of offensive linemen, though. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the most shocking development here of the first couple of weeks, that appears to be a position where Purdue actually has a little bit of depth, which seems crazy to say. What can you tell us about some of those injuries, in particular number four?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not basing this on any inside knowledge, but I get an inkling maybe we're going to see Rondale this Saturday. It's been, since September 28th, 2019, the last time he was on the field. Of course, you were in the press box that day with me, Kyle. We saw one of the most bizarre events in stadium history when Elijah Sindelar and Rondale Moore both sustained season-ending injuries on the same play. So it's been over a year since Rondale's been on the field. Like I said, maybe this Saturday. You mentioned George Karloftis, number five, the sensational sophomore, the freshman All-American last year. Got hurt at Illinois in the first half. You know, fingers across there, obviously. Purdue's defense needs his force off the edge. Offensive lineman Cam Craig, Sam Garvin, like you said, Kyle, I think they have the depth to absorb those losses. They already have. And King DeRue, the running back, you know, led the team in rushing as a true freshman last year, has yet to see the field this year. Maybe King DeRue gets back out there. I think Kyle really needs another back to complement Xander Horvath. They cannot afford to get Horvath hurt. He's carrying an awful big load right now.
Yeah, you've got to be able to hand the ball to somebody else. And through the first couple of weeks, Purdue has been unwilling to do so. That's probably an area where you'd like to see Purdue expand a little bit following the bye week. What other ones, in your opinion, do you see Purdue needing to improve upon when it's had a little bit of time off here to reset early in the season?
I tell you what, special teams, Kyle, without a doubt. Now, that's a strength in Northwestern. If you watched that game last weekend against Nebraska, two big 36-yard returns set up touchdowns for the Wildcats, and their punter had a standout game as well late and flipped the field once with a 58-yard punt. Anybody who's watched Purdue so far this year knows special teams, again, have not been the strength, especially the punting. Almost proved to be catastrophic in Champaign 2 weeks ago. Two poor punts in the fourth quarter could have really proven costly for Purdue. They have to get the punting game shored up, and they need more out of the return game. I mean, how many times have we said this? For how many years, it seems like, right?
Yeah.
Of course, if Rondale Moore comes back, that ought to be a big boost to the return game. But again, you know, special teams, that hidden third of every squad, you know, I think could really hold the key for the Boilermakers, the key to this game. You know, that could come up and bite you at some point. You love J.D. Dellinger, but again, they need more from that return game and they need better, more consistent punting for sure.
Okay, so you follow the Big Ten pretty closely. What do we know about the league through 3 weeks? What are the known facts? We know that Ohio State is good, though they gave up somehow 27 points to Rutgers on Saturday. What else do we know? We know Nebraska thinks highly of itself, even when it can't win football games. We know that Illinois is really bad. And I said before the season started that no one would get fired in the Big Ten. Lovie Smith is going to challenge that notion this season, I think, unless the Illini can turn it around. But, man, they don't do much of anything very well. So we know those three things. Is there anything else? Can you tell me anything else after 3 weeks that we know in the Big Ten?
I'm guessing you're going to DVR that Rutgers-Illinois game this weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll probably just watch that on a loop.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Michigan, you want to talk about miserable fan bases. Michigan and Penn State, Kyle. You know, the Wolverines have the one win, the opener at Minnesota. It looks like an aberration. Of course, Penn State is 0-3, my friend. Neither team looks that good. Quarterback issues at Penn State, among other things. Michigan, again, you wonder about the overall lack of desire there, the disconnect there between the staff and the players seem to persist. You talked about Nebraska. They don't have a quarterback who can throw the football. It's that simple. Adrian Martinez, Luke McCaffrey, doesn't matter. I don't care how many quarterback draws you run. At some point, you got to throw passes. And neither one of those two guys looks like much of a passer, you know. I think Indiana's for real. As much as Purdue fans don't want to admit that, I mean, that's a solid team this year. I'm not saying they're going to come Alabama, but it's one of those magical years we see teams have. And, again, two nice wins already for the Wolverines to get over the hump and give them a lot of confidence, right? Iowa, maybe I gave up on Iowa too quick. You know, Purdue beat them 24-20. They blew a lead against Northwestern in their second game, and, boy, they demolished Michigan State. I know the Spartans are bad, but still, good confidence boost for the Hawkeyes there too. So, Yeah, a lot of stories yet to be written. The Big Ten West, again, looks like it's pretty open for the most part. I think the three teams for sure, Northwestern, Purdue, Wisconsin, and like you said, Kyle, from the top, Ohio State and everybody else in the Big Ten East, and they for sure look to be legit, a college football playoff contender.
Yeah. I agree with you for the most part in Indiana. I think they have looked impressive. I mean, there are some aspects to really like about them. Their opponents are also 2-7 that they have beaten. I mean, two big names. You've beaten two ranked opponents in Penn State and Michigan, and they're combined, 1-5?
You kind of think maybe they're going to lay an egg at some point. Who knows? They play at Michigan State this weekend. I wouldn't be shocked to see Indiana lose to anybody, but you're right. I mean, the name brands look good on Indiana's resume, but you're right, neither Michigan nor Penn State's of their usual ilk.
All right, here's my theory that I'm just going to go with for the rest of the season, Tom. If you're a coaching staff, your coaching staff that is not disciplined enough to properly wear your mask, your team will also play with no discipline. Because Jim Harbaugh and his defensive coordinator could not figure out how to wear a mask on Saturday. And you can't tell me there's not a correlation between that and their defensive linemen in an empty stadium, quiet as all heck, repeatedly jumping off sides. Two of the first three times they did it, handing, gift-wrapping Indiana touchdowns, the third time resulting in a pass interference that results in the score on that drive. I mean, come on, that's my theory. I'm just going to go with it for the rest of the season. If your coaching staff cannot properly wear a mask, your team cannot properly play with discipline.
I saw that tweet. I saw your tweet. I'm not going to argue against you, my friend. The devil are in the details. I mean, again, no small traits can be overlooked. And if something as innocuous as having the discipline to properly, wear your mask, I think, if you're not taking care of that detail, Kyle, you know what? There's probably other details you're not taking care of, too. That's just sort of how life works. You never have one isolated part of your life where that's the only time you do it. You're not taking care of details of that important detail. Like I said, there's probably other aspects within the football program that aren't being attended to as well. So you're right. It's been kind of interesting to watch the sidelines and the head coaches. And, of course, that scene in South Bend. How about that after the Clemson game? The field rush, the mob of students. I mean, social media exploded. Talking heads are going to have a field day today giving us their opinion on what went on after that epic 2-overtime win by the Irish.
I'm going with it, man. In this upside-down Big Ten, I'm gonna research this. Are the teams that are leading in both divisions – the teams whose coaches can wear their masks.
Now,
maybe
Kyle,
that's the
Kyle,
whole
Kyle,
thing.
Kyle, before you go, I got to ask you this. If you were a head coach, what's your mask of choice? You're going to go with that outer space shield that Andrew Reid wears? You're going to go with a neckerchief? You're going to go with a surgical mask? What would Kyle Charters wear as a head coach on the sidelines for mask wear?
Well, what was Lovie Smith wearing? What was that? That was like some sort of new age. What was that?
I don't know, but I think he may be the leader in the clubhouse, the most bizarre mask of choice.
Yeah. I would just go with the fitted mask there, like what Brian Brom wore in week one. And fitted, stayed on his face. He was good to go.
Yep. Simple and effective.
Easy enough.
You're right. So easy peasy, right? So we'll see. Pat Fitzgerald's got good mask etiquette. Jeff Rom's got mask etiquette, so I don't know. I mean, what's that tell? It's going to be a close game Saturday.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I'm glad we got into that for 3 minutes. Thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's bring in Brian Newbert. We'll do that here coming up after the break, talk a little bit of basketball. Purdue starts in 16 days. We'll get into that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio. Gold and Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217. You can email me as well at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Koppelman a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kkoppelman, K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless and carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and this is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Hey, Kyle here with Brian on Gold and Black Radio. All right, Brian, do you subscribe to my mask theory?
No. That was a strange take. I was hoping we weren't going to revisit, but here we are. I think that the NCAA, the Big Ten, whatever the powers that be, might want to issue a reminder saying that, you know, we're requiring you to wear masks, but if you pull them down just to yell in people's faces, it's kind of counterproductive. So let's try to be disciplined about it. But I don't know if there's any correlation between their adherence to the mask mandate and their right guard's ability to not jump off sides. Interesting viewpoint,
despite your
though.
Skepticism, I'm going with it anyway.
Okay.
All right.
You do you.
But, yeah.
Shoot your shot.
Yeah. let's talk a little bit of basketball, Brian, because the season starts in basically two weeks and a couple days. That seems really weird in some ways that it is starting. I guess not as weird in others because we are here in November. I mean, I guess what the typical schedule would have had it probably played a couple of games already, right? At least an exhibition game. But now it all of a sudden feels like it's sneaking up on us. I guess probably one of the reasons for that is we don't yet know the complete schedule here, right? When will we know sort of who Purdue is playing and when?
Well, the Big Ten's got to release its schedule, but for the most part, we know what the non-conference schedule looks like. They're going to start November 25th in Florida. They're going to play the two games down there. The bulk of the non-conference schedule is complete, provided Notre Dame's going to be able to play in the Crossroads Classic after the field storming potentially shut down the university. I'm kidding, of course. But we pretty much know what the non-conference schedule looks like. It's just a matter of having a picture of when Big Ten starts, what the Big Ten schedule looks like and all that. But Purdue's non-conference schedule is going to have the two games that used to be Cancun that got moved to Florida and then got renamed like the Space Coast Classic or Space Coast Challenge or something like that. They'll play Liberty in place of Illinois State, and then they'll get Mississippi State or Clemson. They'll play Notre Dame in the Crossroads. They'll play Miami at Miami, and that's pretty much the crux of the non-conference. There'll be some mid-major games in there too, obviously Valparaiso, Indiana State, and a few others, but we pretty much know what the schedule looks like unofficially. It's just a matter of them actually putting it down on paper and announcing it.
Do you anticipate the basketball season facing some of the same kind of challenges that we've seen in football in terms of games getting postponed and or canceled and or rescheduled?
Yes. I think that's just the reality of the situation we're in, and I think everybody in the college basketball community is well aware of that. They're watching football closely, obviously. The good news with basketball is you have a little bit more flexibility in terms of what you can do. I know that there are programs out there that are putting out feelers to people saying, hey, guys, if we need a game on 2 days' notice, be ready, to schools in their state, schools within relative proximity of those schools. So it is entirely possible that, you are going to see the schedule change on the fly, but you're also going to see all the same dynamics in basketball you're seeing in football, whereas if somebody pops a positive test, all of a sudden they're out for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden you lose a couple games because of it, and all of a sudden the season is completely turned on its head from a standings and results perspective, and it all falls in line with what we could have predicted many, many months ago, that this is going to be a season of randomized results if there ever was one, and it is going to be a season where you hold on to your hats because anything can happen at any time.
Yeah. You know, much the same as when the football season started, we generally have a little bit of an idea what to expect with a team because we've seen a practice or been to a scrimmage or what have you. It's similar for basketball here, right? I mean, you're 2 weeks away. Now, you've seen a lot of these guys before, and you have some level, I guess, of expectation for how a player might improve from 1 year to the next. But what, I guess, are your biggest questions, you know, the first time that you actually get a chance, presuming that you haven't in some sort of practice-type arrangement, what are some of the things that you're particularly looking for that you have questions about this group?
Yeah, I mean, I think they took a hit defensively with some of the personnel losses. Now, there's going to be trade-off and all of that stuff, too, where – you know, there are some things that go out the door with those two guys too that don't necessarily hurt you, but those two guys were good defensive players, and I think Purdue has to figure some things out defensively, because when you look at the roster coming back, I'm not sure it's necessarily ideally suited to be a dominant defensive team. Obviously, Purdue has to be better offensively. That's two pretty big components of the game here, offensive defense. Purdue's guards have to be much better and much more authoritative and play like veterans much more so than they did last season, because they weren't necessarily veterans. I think that'll happen with the natural progression of time. I think Travion Williams has to be really good and really consistent. I think that kind of goes without saying. I think the newcomers all have to be good, and I think there's some good reason to believe that's going to be the case. Guys like Jaden Ivey, Ethan Morton, when he gets healthy, Brandon Newman, Mason Gillis, all of those guys have a chance to be very good college players, I think. Zach Edey has been a very pleasant surprise by every indication. All of that stuff. So that's a lot of stuff. I mean, that's a lot of broad-scoped, really, really important stuff that this team has to prove itself with. But I think more than anything, it's sort of the intangible stuff. Are these guys more competitive than they were a year ago? That team was really missing something from a competitive perspective. Yeah. Leadership was clearly an issue, and consistency in all its forms was really missing. So those are kind of the big things that have to fall in place before the little things really matter.
Yeah, you mentioned needing to be better on offense and defense. Maybe their special teams and power play is really good, perhaps.
Yeah. If they can improve their free throw shooting, though, that might be dependent on coaches' ability to keep their masks up. I don't know.
Ouch. That was sort of harsh. Give me your starting lineup.
Who's in my starting lineup?
Travion
Williams, Aaron Wheeler, Sasha Stefanovic, Eric Hunter, and I think maybe Brandon Newman, from what I hear. I've always thought Jaden Ivey. But I've heard a lot of very positive things about Brandon Newman. I've always wondered if he and Stefanovic could really play together just because they're kind of similar. I think you like to have more ball handlers on the floor at once. Those guys aren't necessarily ball handlers, in my opinion anyway. But if you want to put your best five out there, that might be the combination as of right now. I would be very surprised,
yeah,
personally, and I've not seen practice, but I'd be very surprised if Jaden Ivey isn't a really, really high-impact player for Purdue. Whether that's from day one or not, I don't know. He might kind of need some time to ease into things. I don't know. But, you know, Ethan Morton would have been in that mix too, I think, had he not gotten sick. I think he's gonna play a pretty prominent role for them as well. But I would probably go with the five I just mentioned.
We're almost out of time here, so we won't go much longer. But the intriguing part to me there is the point guard and sort of then how that affects the rest of the backcourt. Because, Eric Hunter, I think, is perfectly capable of playing and playing well either one of those backcourt positions. So sort of deciding who you go with as your starting, quote, point guard, I think everything else after that sort of falls into place then. That's the intriguing part of that lineup for me.
Yeah, Eric Hunter is as known a commodity, I think, as you have on this roster. So I think they're very comfortable with him, you know, playing that position. I don't think necessarily point guard is that big a deal at Purdue. I think the offense they run doesn't necessarily put as much responsibility, as much burden on that position as, say, a high ball screen dribble drive kind of offense would. Look what Purdue had at point guard the last couple of years here. Technically, you know, they basically had a forward playing point guard, and obviously that came with some limitations, but it just illustrates my point that what you need in that position at Purdue is simply a guy who's going to guard the position like his life depends on it, and a guy who's just going to make good decisions, because once you get into motion or once you get into your set, really all the point guard, everybody has to handle the ball. Everybody has to make a decision. It's not simply a matter of it all being centralized in that one position. I think Eric Hunter, from what I understand, has been really good in the preseason, and I think they're really, really comfortable having the ball in his hands all year long. And I think he could be poised to be a much better player this season than he was last. I think point guard is probably the last of their concerns right now.
All right, Brian. Thanks, man.
No problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And out of time for the podcast for this week, a reminder, of course, that we will be back again on Friday with a 11 o'clock drop on the pregame podcast. It's a big one, Purdue and Northwestern primetime on Saturday in Ross-Ade Stadium. Control of the West up for grabs. Be sure to log on to goldandblack.com throughout the week for more updates. All right, thanks to our sponsors, as always. For Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Turner. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.